Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, Robin Dreek.
One more piece. Let's take a look at it before we wrap up our conversation on Karen Reed. The taillight, that is another big question that everyone has. Cracked but not damaged. That's what we see in some of the camera footage of, okay, in this shot, it's not really that damaged. And then over here, it suddenly is. And then possibility of planting evidence, of placing pieces of that taillight there at the accident scene. Here is Attorney Jackson in his closing arguments.
And don't forget, Buchanek is Proctor's supervisor. And he was in that little group chat where Karen Reed's naked photos were being searched for. You know the saying about the apple falling from the tree. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't even started talking about the taillight yet. You'll recall that at the very beginning of this case, you were introduced to no fewer than 5 CPD officers very early on who searched the scene. None of them, not a single one, found any taillight material at the scene. Zero. Steven Seraph, Sean Good, Stephen Mullaney, Michael Lank, Paul Gallagher, they were all there. They were all walking right around there. They were all looking. They were searching with their eyes. They were searching with their hands. Some said they were searching with their feet. They even used tools, a leaf blower. Not one piece of bright red taillight material was at the scene. Not a single piece. But incredibly, over the course of the next 3 weeks, according to Michael Proctor, 47 pieces of taillight material would end up being found, some of which were the size of a salad plate. The CERT team shows up later on January 29th, and according to O'Hara, the first few pieces of taillight were found about 5:45. And here's some interesting testimony that you heard. Who else was there? Who did O'Hara say was there? Well, he said his team was there. We certainly expected that, but then he said there were others. These other mysterious figures, some from Canton PD, some from the Massachusetts State Police, that he could not account for. Heavy coats, big masks, hats. Even Lieutenant O'Hara could not tell who was who. But he did note Canton police officers were there who were unaccounted for. Massachusetts state troopers were there unaccounted for. And during that search that was overseen by Trooper Tully, Proctor's supervisor, 3 pieces of taillight material were found. That's super important, and I want to concentrate on that for a second. O'Hara said all 3 pieces were in an area about 12 inches square. That's an area about as big as your dinner plate. Tully, however, claimed that 1 red piece was found. About 3 feet away from that was a shoe. About 1 to 2 feet from that was a clear piece of plastic. And a few feet away from that was a red piece of plastic. So we have red, clear, and red. Over the span of about, added up, probably 10 or 12 feet. Ladies and gentlemen, both of those things cannot be true. Somebody is taking liberties with the facts.
I think the piece that stood out to me was the taillight as big as a small dinner plate or a small salad plate. That's pretty evident there. I mean, I know it was snowing. I know they used the leaf blower. How over 3 weeks after they even closed out the evidence scene, they closed out the crime scene, they're finding more pieces just by chance. That to me just, I mean, it doesn't sound good.
No, I don't know why they didn't do like an episode of Mythbusters on this one. Why didn't they take an exact replica of the vehicle and see what kind of force they need to back into a human body to crack that taillight?
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been very powerful.
I think it would take a hell of a lot more to crack that taillight than just backing into a body that was in a movable position.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about, I mean, I have a hard time. So if he's standing there, not against a brick wall that's going to support him, and if he's backed into, he's going to get hit and he's going to get knocked down. Is it going to crack a taillight and then shatter it? how fast you got to be going to do that to a light on a car?
Yeah.
That to me needs a reenactment. That to me needs a Mythbusters, you know, saying, hey, you're claiming this did it, so let's go through it. Let's reenact that one. I that's my hard press on that one.
My question is, okay, how were the microscopic pieces in his clothing?
Oh, yeah.
That's the other part that's like, how?
That's why my premise starts with I don't really buy it to begin with, so let's reenact it first. Uh-huh. And then if it actually we show the light can be shattered, now we'll look at the evidence you collected, and then I'll say it's all bunk. I mean, I'm not a fan of the taillight theory that it was shattered, like her taillight was shattered by hitting him. I don't know.
I think it obviously got shattered at some point in time, but is that part of the actual accident?
It just doesn't stand up to the physics of the moment, I don't think.
No, it doesn't.
I have a hard time thinking, because I've backed into a few things accidentally, you know, and throughout the course of my life. I've hit walls and things like that, and I've never had a taillight shatter that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't seen a taillight shattered that way. Unless it was in a major collision with another vehicle made of metal.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we're talking a Lexus here, a well-built vehicle. Yeah.
80% water. This is a big bag of water, you know, and when it's hit by something hard, it moves.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand solid like this and crack things.
Yeah.
This gets cracked, not that. So,
There's so many questions, and the jury certainly has their work made out for them. Like I said earlier on, we're recording this before there is an actual verdict. This is our conjecture on the closing arguments. I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm wondering if this will be a hung jury and if we have to do all this again in a couple months.
Oh, can you imagine?
Or they just let it go and say, not again. I don't know.
Hopefully the jury instructions were good. The options they have for their ballots are good, and they can come to a conclusion on one of them.
Yeah, so I hope so for the family.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.